Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron alongside Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Okay, well, welcome. Another great week of coaching and spreading the word of coaching, and today we just have another fantastic guest with us.
We're so excited.
We have Nicole Karslake. Yes, very excited, and you know, we're talking about something that is kind of a buzzword, you know, this whole millennials, right? The millennials and millennials in the workforce, and what are we going to do about the millennials, and how do we talk to them, and how do we manage them? It's almost like they're little invaders from another planet, you know, and but they're not. So, well, Nicole, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you interested in coaching, and we'll kind of march it forward to present day. So welcome.
Hi. Thank
you. You maybe have some technical difficulties.
Oh, did she cut off? I was like, well, that was you know, maybe
I can hear you. Maybe. Nicole, are you still there?
I am.
Yay!
Are, okay. Are we okay?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. Sorry about that, you guys.
That's okay. We're sorry that we had a little technical difficulty right when you're just starting out. So go ahead and share with us a little bit about what drew you to this wonderful field and dealing with this particular target audience.
It's my work. It's my passion. You know, I've been in this industry for, I hate to admit it, but 20 years now. And the last 10 years of my career has probably been the most, memorable in all of it. And I really enjoy working with the millennial group, and understanding that workforce, you know.
That's awesome.
About 2 years ago, it's a ton of fun, right? There's a lot of challenges with this age group, trying to understand how to motivate them, trying to understand how to lead them. I hate to use the word manage. I think that, you know, that's for people who don't lead people, but
it's not your favorite word.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you do, about your like what are you doing, like what do you do?
So I'm currently a district manager for a retail chain, and a lot of what that includes is coaching, right? So day in, day out, I am in the stores with these guys. I am in constant dialogue. So I'm teaching business strategy. I'm teaching immediate goal setting. I'm teaching them how to balance their needs, which are primarily social, along with balancing the demands of work. So all of this.
That's interesting and well said. The balancing social, because at that age, a lot of it is social, correct?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The millennial group, they really are drawn to the experience of their friends, the experience of, say, going out to eat. You know, the work as we know it, the baby boomers, right? We worked because we worked, and that was how we identified ourselves. The millennials, they identify themselves and by their social experience. What are their friends doing? All created from, you know, social media explosion.
That's very well said, Nicole.
And
that's
so,
a great, just right there, that made a lot of sense. Just that distinction between
I've got to see some of this in action. I've actually known Nicole for a couple of years now, and one of the things that struck me that you were doing, and I think it was years ago, intuitively, is you were utilizing kind of picture mediated social media with folks, and putting them taking pictures of them with either with a good backdrop in the store per se, or with an award or an incentive that they might have gotten. And man, I mean, that was so powerful. It was almost like a work of art. I mean, how did that motivate those folks? And what, you know, I mean, you could just see the look in their eyes, you know, and it was a good look. Just, they were so alive and so thrilled. What was, tell us about
proud.
Some of those moments. Yeah. And what was the motivation to do that? And how did you know to do that even back as far as 2010, 11, 12?
So, you did know me then, and you saw my Instagram explode. So it was one of those things, right? I knew that the millennials, they were my stores, my team. They were drawn to that instant gratification, instant recognition. So the more I spoke to them, the more I talked them through work situations and even life situations, at some time, they were drawn to resorting back to social media. Well, Nicole, this is what I saw on Instagram. This is what I saw on Facebook. So that was my venue. If I was going to get, results from them and they were going to achieve their goals, I knew that my venue was social media. They love the acknowledgement. They love the hype. And what it did was it built our connection. That was how I was able to connect to them. They came to expect it from me. Nicole's coming to my store today. We're going to be on point and we're going to deliver, because they knew they could expect that recognition. And it fell into that instant gratification.
It was, you were going to broadcast something positive about them instantly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Instant. That's the key word. It was instant.
Right, because there's not a whole lot of delay of gratification, right? So that not only could they, you're right, they could see it, their friends could see it, and if they were tagged, and then there's kind of a multiplier there of who could see that and get that gratification. So, what are some of the other things that you see are motivators, you know, for these millennial staff that you have? I mean, you know, guys like me, we would work for work toward retirement, but boy, that's just not the case nowadays.
No, it's not. The millennials work today to have tomorrow off, and really go enjoy that social experience. But it's funny, but it's true.
It's true. It's so true.
It's so true. And knowing that going into it, my relationship is built on, tell me what's going on in your life, right? So, Nicole, I have this going on this weekend. This is what's going on in my life.
Yep.
So they feel valued, right? I acknowledge and I respect what's going on in their personal life.
Which used to be no play in business, right? That used to be, that's your personal life. That sounds like a personal problem. I used to have a boss that used to say that. It sounds like a personal problem. They didn't want to know what was going on in your personal life, right? The baby boomer? No, that wasn't something that was brought up.
That's so true, right? When I was growing up in my career, it was, you leave it at the door.
Exactly.
and yep. you don't take it to work, but guess what? We're humans. And I think that's the element that, I guess I'll go ahead and admit it, we've missed. You know, the baby boomers missed that. How much more of a genuine relationship could we have had if we'd have just
workplace.
Known
Absolutely.
Who we were
I agree.
Working with?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it was you know, a disappointment.
And we missed out.
Yeah, not 100%. I'm sure all of us told good relationships, but I think that's what you're bringing to light is that's a positive of this new generation. Oh, well, that's a serious
sure.
positive.
It,
yeah.
It sounds like, but it also sounds like where there used to be that boundary between work and personal life, that boundary is eroding. And it sounds like you're trying to meet the needs of the people. You're trying to meet their needs or address their needs. Even their personal needs. Is that kind of.
She's meeting them where they're at, right?
Meeting them where they're at. And that is, that's the foundation for what I do. And honestly, that's why I was so motivated after watching Bruce work and listening to what he does. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what I want to do on that level. I do it now. But there isn't that separation anymore, again, because of the social media explosion. So there really isn't that boundary because everything we do is public, almost, right?
Right.
Between Instagram and Facebook, you know what's going on in the other person's life, for the most part. And I'll tell you, you know, I've had some pretty amazing people work for me, and I'm so glad that I took the time to get to know who they were. And
that's
it's
nice.
Just, it, I can't even explain how fulfilling it is. You know, had I been the typical baby boomer, you know what, show me the results. I don't care who you are or what's going on. And that's an extreme version, right?
Mm-hmm.
But knowing who they were, what things were important to them.
Sure. I don't want to say the punchline and steal the thunder, but there was a woman that you told me about that called you weeks or months later. Do you remember that, Nicole? Can you tell us about that one? She was her living situation was pretty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one was touching. You know, I have another passion, and that passion is for women coming out of adverse situations, you know, maybe where there had been some financial hardships or maybe even domestic violence. And one of the young girls that was working for me, well, I ended up hiring her, but she was so scared to come into the interview. And over the course of the interview, it wasn't the routine drill. It was, tell me about who you are. And she said, Nicole, I don't want you to judge me, but I'm homeless. I'm living in my car with my two kids.
Wow.
And I'm scared you're not going to give me the job.
Oh, she was upfront and honest. I love that.
She was upfront. But and so, one, how do you create that trust so quickly? And it's really, you know, listening, doing a lot of listening mm-hmm. during the interview. But
right.
my heart was, okay, you know what? I'm going to trust that you're going to be responsible and we're going to get you back on your feet because I care about you as a person and you're obviously committed that you want to do better. So let's work together and help get you there.
Right. That's great.
You know, and it was a gamble on my part, right,
yes.
from an executive level. Okay, now, you know, I have to explain why to senior executives, why I'm making this choice and all of the risk that comes with that, but I'm committed to helping her succeed.
Right.
And my word is my commitment.
And your heart was in the right place. And how did she do? How did she do on the job?
She did phenomenal. She sent me... She transferred out of state, and before she left, she sent me an email, and you know I don't want to get teary on the radio, but it was thank you Thank you. Here we go. Thank you for believing in me and giving me the chance.
That's so nice. Yeah. I love that story. Yeah,
it's just, that's why I do what I do.
Sure.
Because you want to help people. Yep, that's the heart of a coach, that's for sure. Showing up with heartfelt service.
Exactly. But, you know, I can see also a challenge. You know, if I was putting myself in your position, Nicole, where, you know, you're out there, you're in the field, you're visiting a multitude of stores and units over a geographic area, right?
Yeah.
Having to really get in touch with not only the staff, but the consumers of the products, right, that the staff are trying to sell. And so it's almost like you're bilingual or trilingual, because then you have to kind of, you know, understand the customer, understand your staff, and then somehow speak another language up the chain, right, to the C-suite. Yeah. Can you talk about that process of being either bilingual or trilingual as it goes up the chain?
You know, I can. I wish I knew how to explain it, but it truly is wearing different hats. You know, when I'm speaking with senior level executives, it's a very different tone and understanding what their motivation is. So it's a clear, we're about business, we're about results, we're about execution. Understand that completely. That's how my dialogue is. And when I'm talking to my field stores, then it's, tell me about the experience. Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what's going on this weekend. And
right.
All of that so that they can achieve their goals. You know, I think that that's one of the biggest challenges, right? How do I take the business strategy and break it down so that this workforce is successful? And the way that I've done that is by making the goals short spurts, right? The millennials don't care about 1 year down the road, 5 years down the road.
The 5-year, 10-year plan
today. There is no 5-year, 10-year plan. and that's what makes it so much fun. I really have to say, every day is a new day, and they are so quick to remind me of that.
That's
Nicole,
nice.
Nicole, today's a new day. We've got this. You know what? You're right. It is a new day. You're going to get it.
That's
but by
great.
The way, so, I'm off tomorrow. And that's...
And don't call me at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, don't
right?
call me. I'm off tomorrow.
Because guess what? My wall goes up as soon as I walk out the door.
Oh, but you know what? And so, randomly, I will get pictures of what they're doing. You know, I have to say, the bond that I have with my team, they're high performance, high talented, high caliber individuals. And another gal called me the other day, and she said, you know, I just wanted to thank you for being you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she said, you're that tough love mom. And, you know, we were joking, and I said, you know, remember that time I went into your store on your birthday, and the first thing you said was, you better be nice to me, Nicole, because today is my birthday. And we just started laughing. Like, that was just one of those moments that's timeless.
So I'm hearing a lot of positives. You know, it's really interesting because just before the show, I had a call from a gal that used to work for me years ago, and we have stayed friends all these years, and we've kind of like haven't talked in a couple months, you know, and it's bringing back, hearing you talk is bringing back a lot of good memories of when I managed people and the relationships, those special relationships that do bloom and build. And I hear a lot of positive when I hear you talk about millennials. And, you know, as a mother of some, and we were talking, I have 5 kids and have kids in that age range. And I see so much gift and so much heart. There's just in my experience, I don't know all the negative side. I see a lot of intelligence. I see a lot of compassion for people who don't have or weren't blessed as much. I see them wanting to go out and really make changes in the world and make a difference. I get to experience a lot of it. The question I have for you, which is when, as you've been talking, do you notice a difference, Nicole, if somebody falls at one end of the range or the other? So say somebody just missed being a millennial. Do they lean more baby boomer? Or do you know what I'm saying? On the continuum.
You know, I don't think so. I think, you know, the time frame was, what, 1980s to the mid-1990s as the birth. I will tell you, there's a little bit of gray area from my perspective between those that were born in the 80s. I think what we really
see now. Say
somebody
was born early 80s, 1980 versus 95. I guess I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like if they're,
absolutely.
Are they falling more boomer if they're an 80 versus an, you know, a 90? You know what I mean?
Yes. And I'll, yes, for sure. I will tell you that the early 80s fall more towards the baby boomers.
Okay.
It's these
okay.
1990s that are in the workforce now. They're just starting their careers. They're finding out who they are. And that's the beauty of it, right? I get to experience, we get to experience their values up front and in your face.
So if you had to pull any negative about those say 90s, you know, mid 80s forward, what would it be if you had to pull something you wish you could change or how you would like to do that?
Oh gosh. You know, that's a tough one. I get asked a lot about what I would change about somebody or a situation, but my personal thought process is, how do I adapt? So I don't know that there's anything that I would change.
Okay.
But it's how do I adapt to get them to fulfill their needs and get them to fulfill my needs from a business standpoint.
Where it's mutually beneficial. Yeah.
That sounds good. Now, I also know that you have had to probably fire a lot of people, or your managers had to fire people.
Are you going to go there, Bruce? You're really going to go there?
He always takes it to the edge, right, Bruce?
But hold on, but listen. I'm going to do this categorical. I'm going to be nice about this. I'm going to try to be nice about this. Okay, so here we are, right? Here's this millennial demographic. Here we are at this kind of associate level, near entry level retail thing. And I, you know, I know that I know that folks, we'll just say folks get fired. Tell me some of the traits that are getting these kids fired. You know, what is it that they're
That's
so recalcitrant? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
So, boy, you're going to open up a can of worms with this one. And if I'm going to answer this honestly, boy, it's that entitlement attitude that some of them come with.
That's
and
real talk.
That it is real talk. You know, I'll get kids who, you know, choose to request every weekend off, you know, and that just doesn't work. You know, it's not going to work in the real life. Like you actually have to work and pay maybe your cell phone bill because you're so addicted to social media. You got to pay for that. And when they don't show
data.
Up to work because, yes, they're using that data. I need you to help, right?
That's it, baby. That's it.
So it's a lack of responsibility, I think, you know, and knowing the boundaries. So we do lose a few to, you know, they'd rather hang out and do that social experience than balance it. My job is to help them find the balance.
That's an age? Is that tend to be younger people, or is it just certain ones just don't catch up or aren't taught it, maybe haven't experienced it enough in the workplace? Is there general, you know what I'm saying? Is there general guidelines around that, or is it more just individual?
I think it's individual.
Okay.
You know, you have to look at their home situation, right? That always plays a factor. As much as we don't like to admit it, it truly does.
Yeah.
You know, what is
what
the parental involvement? Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What are they shown? You know, what's being role modeled in the home, right?
Yeah,
and also
parental
expectations maybe play a little.
Sure.
Or lack of.
Generally, it's the lack of.
Well, okay. So is there a disconnect between, let's see. Okay, let me figure this out. Probably shouldn't waste airtime doing it. You and I've talked about, Nicole, about how sometimes the millennial person will want to embrace the values of the company, that the values of the company some ways mirror the, hey, you guys like to save whales? Oh my God, I love whales. You know, not really, that's kind of mean, but you know what I mean? So, you know, hey, you know, there's free food or there's some sort of a social cause or there's experiential offerings for these kids to participate in. There's travel perks and travel benefits. So is that where the disconnect is? Because maybe because your brand, you know, is kind of just a straight line retail that it doesn't really have enough for the millennial to connect to. You know what I'm saying? It's just too almost robotic in terms of churn and burn sales or. Yeah.
You know, I think, first and foremost, I wouldn't narrow it down to just the company that I work for. You know, we are socially involved and I will tell you, I work diligently at the local level to get my stores involved. So absolutely, that is so important to this millennial to work for a company that mirrors their values, where they can connect and be an influencer. You know, that's the venue that they want to work in. They want to feel connected that way. So to your point, Bruce, yes, absolutely. You know, I think that with this millennial crowd, if they're not feeling like they're making a positive impact in their community or on a more global level, they're not interested, right? We don't have the connection. We don't have the commitment.
Which, that to me, that says they're evolving. This generation is more evolved.
Oh, no doubt. And if
for
I
me,
go
that's
back
what it says.
20 years, it absolutely is that. The millennials are so much more evolved from a social humanitarian perspective than
absolutely
baby boomers totally ever thought of being.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Socially evolved and in a lot of other ways as well. But definitely from that perspective, I think that was very well said.
You know, you say they're more evolved.
Oh, here comes Bruce.
Kind of,
here we go.
Like I'm a Neanderthal.
You're feeling like a Neanderthal?
Well,
is that what you said?
Some sort of.
Well, there's no absolutes,
they're
Bruce. There were boomer, you know, there's some exceptions to every generational role, right?
There are, absolutely. You don't have to be a Neanderthal. You can be that in between baby boomer and Neanderthal.
I guess I'm the end of the boomers. Yeah, last of the boomers.
Last of the boomers.
I'm the last of the Mohican boomers. It is interesting. You know, yesterday you and I were talking even further, and I remember one of the things we had talked about, let's say when I grew up, I guess we'll call that the 60s. And if you think about what all had progressed between 63 and 73 versus 10 years of today's time, between 96 and 06 or 96 and present day, that's a whole lot of.
Yeah,
I will argue with you. That's a whole lot of evolution in terms of our culture, in terms of our dependence on the internet and stuff like that. So, and I think that's, I wouldn't say evolved, as I'd say accelerated or something. You know what I mean? Just because that acceleration factor is so great. You know. So anyway, I mean, And that's real humbling, because, you know, I really have to think about that as well, you know, and it's kind of hard to stay. This is another topic, staying relevant. It's hard for an old guy like me to stay relevant. And how do you stay relevant? I mean, that, man, I know it's hard for me. Is it hard for you, or is it just so you're so immersed in folks that you stay relevant because you're in the
Don't you think experience is relevance? I mean, that's what I find, you know, like those of us who have more experience, we draw the younger millennials because they want to learn from us as well. It's not just a separation of baby boomers and millennials. It's the humanistic factor, which I think when we were talking about, you know, them being more socially aware, like picking a company because it mirrors their values or because they want to make a positive impact. I think that is more prevalent with the younger generation. I think there is generational changes, but I think millennials like Bruce would be drawn to you for your experience, not just personally, professionally. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, do you see that? Do you see that, Nicole?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I do not. Now, I will tell you, it was a very humbling moment 5 years ago back when I was walking in and I was starting a dialogue and I was trying to joke with my teams. And I would say, hey, you know, this looks like the Brady Bunch. And they were like, I'm sorry, who? Oh, okay. So No, they didn't. And they don't want to know about it. Think relevant. Every piece of information. Go ahead.
Not so much of, you know, what we learned and where we came from and how we learned it, but really meeting them where they're at in terms of that sort of the wisdom and knowledge, experience, expertise, professionally, personally, and, you know, all areas of your life. If you meet them where they're at, and you bring that wealth of experience, I think that is relevant.
Right. I think it's ageless. They don't know that I'm meeting them where they're at. It's my responsibility and my choice to do that.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So they don't see it on the back end.
And to be fair, you know, I put myself under the bus, but I do a fair amount of work with millennials. As a matter of fact, I have a millennial here watching this half of the broadcast. Not a blood
That's
relative,
funny.
So it's funny, and she's just staring at me like, "Oh my gosh!" Anyway, but I think what that is look, we're all people, you know what I mean, and even people that are in their 20s, you know, have certain needs, and they're not fully developed, and they're still growing, and they're still wanting, and they want connection, and so, you know, I think as coaches. I'm getting the heads up here. So, you know, as coaches, you know, we need to just kind of focus in on those core needs. Yeah. And Nicole, you kind of do that naturally. I pretend that I don't, you know what I mean? I come across as kind of gruff and a prison guy. But at the end of the day, I am centered. I am with my people. I am there. I am engaged. I am, you know, listening to them and their needs, just like you are. Right. Just like you are. On the site. So, and that's why I think you're going to be a natural at coaching. And that's where I kind of had that experience working with children. I was a tutor, and there was other stuff I did, you know, in my youth that required me to sit and be with people that was extremely rewarding to me intrinsically. And I've maintained that throughout to my mid-50s. So that is rewarding. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of clear the air that I'm not some sort of a millennial poker. I have two of my own, to be honest with you, now I think about it. Anyway, but seriously, so yeah, I think attending to those core needs, and I've talked to other millennials in my practice, and they're like, "Hey, we're people too," don't put us under the bus and stuff like that.
They don't want to be put in a box, right?
Yeah, exactly. It is a big, fat, popular box, you know. because everything is about millennial this and millennial that. So it is kind of an interesting time where there's a lot of hype behind that. It used to be the next gen or next generation or whatever. We ran out of letters between generation
Gen
XYZ.
Xers and
So anyway.
It sounds to me, Nicole, that you have that heartfelt sensibility, which, you know, we say I say is that coaching position of bringing that heartfelt center to meet somebody where they're at and also do it in a huge, you know, like in a professional way. I mean, bringing not only the connection, the personal connection that they are looking for, but doing it in a workplace environment. And that's a big change because that wasn't happening as much in the baby boomer generation. You know, there were exceptions to the rules, right? More heartfelt people.
Sure.
But not a lot, I got to say, because I was out there in the corporate world. So I think you have that uncanny knack for seeing it and bringing it and doing it in a professional setting.
Well, thank you, first and foremost. How do you maintain the professionalism, right? And not cross those boundaries. That's a big deal. But, you know, if I had to say one thing that I would change about the baby boomer generation, and I don't want to generalize here, but I see it day in and day out, you know, very in a business setting, very driven by results. And I think
results
with
driven,
the millennials,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It's the
and
end
the millennials.
Of the story that matters. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish it.
The millennials. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to be driven by people. That's what the millennials are driven by. That's what they're motivated by. And, you know, maybe at times in my career, it was frowned upon, but I always put my people first. And, you know, it wasn't always looked upon in a favorable manner. I'll tell you, in the last 8 years or so, it has, because we've changed. But
good.
Yeah, nice. You know, if we lead with our people first, we're going to get those results. Oh. They're going to be successful.
But and again, I think to your credit, and I haven't seen you in action, but you know, I've seen you hauling around stacks and reams of paper with huge clips on them that look like they have numbers and stuff like that. The computer that always stays on, multiple phones, the spreadsheet that's constantly open, and so you know, man, you know, how interesting you say that. When you're sitting there real time, live time, looking at what? Metrics and results, right? It's almost like you have a ticker, right, of sorts of what the stores did.
Well,
and, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you have to keep your eye on the ball.
That's what those results are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, for sure. It's a reason for the season.
they are, right? But that's my indication of my connectivity with that particular team. That's how I gauge my leadership. You know, what do I need to change about the way that I'm communicating, the way that I'm leading? How can I get a different result? Or am I celebrating the result because I am fully connected with that team? We are fully engaged and I'm coaching them through business objectives.
Right.
Those are my indicators.
The results are the indicators.
At some point, is there a boundary that you have to assert between you and them, or you and result, or it's porous, or what is your thought on that?
As far as what do you mean? what do you mean by that? I'm a workaholic.
Tell us more.
Tell us more, Bruce. Yeah, I know. For instance, some like somebody's not achieving their goals, or let's say a person or a store or a manager, and you've really done everything you could, let's say, right? And you think, man, the first thing is, how can I coach him better? Maybe I'm missing something, but at some point, is it just them?
Absolutely.
Sometimes it is.
You know, there are those instances Of course, we're going to take it there. There sorry, are, you know, and Bruce.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, man.
You're dealing with old prison guy here, man. At some point, it's you. You know what I mean? It's your deal. I'm sorry, man.
And right, are you right for the business? And what is there?
Nice.
It's always, whether it's in life or in work, in both. Whenever there's an obstacle and you're not seeing what you want to see out of yourself, or if another individual isn't seeing what they want to see out of themselves, there's typically a clash in values, right? The way I'm living isn't consistent with my values or with my capacity. Let's say it that way as well. So that's when I have to step in and help them determine that. It's never a decision that I make for them, but it's talking them through the thought process. Mm-hmm. Is this right for you? You know,
right. Is it
how
what
do you
really
feel?
Want?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they don't even realize that it's completely contrary to what they want.
Now, countless times that's happened. Nicole, thank you for having that conversation with me. You're right. This isn't what I want. I want to go pursue this. You know what? Go live your dream.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad we had this conversation.
Right.
Go chase it.
There's nothing worse than being in the wrong place and not even knowing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sad because I think, you know, sometimes people in a leadership role overlook it, right? And they keep pounding it and pounding it and pounding it. But you can only get what you can get out of somebody. And you play to their strengths.
I believe in that, yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely do. Yeah, and also some people are misplaced and don't know it. They just have it, you know, nobody's asked them the right questions yet for them to finally see the light and go, whoa, this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
This isn't even the right place for me to be. This isn't even where my aspirations lie, my interests lie, you know. So that's a great role to play if you can be upfront with somebody and have that conversation or that questioning, you know.
Those are difficult conversations. They're not my favorite, obviously, to go into with a person, but at the end of the day, I'm doing what's right, and they're going to do what's right for them, and then everybody's won. It's a win-win.
Exactly. Good for you.
Yeah. So it is just, you know, so person-centered and person-focused, you know, and that's great that you're in a role that has that diversity, you know, where you're running metrics, but you're also really, really the main leader on the ground to motivate that those staff and managers, you know, in the field. So, man, that is really, really cool. And I can see you, you know, in the future, not only just you know, this has coaching applicability across spheres, you know, at the individual level, ladies in transition or youth and, you know, young folks in transition to managers, to C-suite investors, to possible, you know, even at the investor level or the, you know, whatever, you know, even the kind of commercial real estate type of piece, even moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I'm,
you know,
very
this,
fortunate to have had exposure to that. You know, I've been given a lot of opportunity to be in different arenas at different levels and be around those audiences. And it's just more in my tool belt. I really appreciate those opportunities.
More experience,
yes.
Right?
Yeah,
and it'll be exciting. You know, I can't wait for you to get your, you know, you'll get your CPC here in a few weeks. And I know you're here in a few weeks, you're going to have some of your basic, I know, right? You're going to have your platforms out, some of the basic platforms we talk about here on the show. And part of I'm always preaching about your, you know, a LinkedIn, a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram, and all those things kind of create a vortex. So my internet guy just contacted me and said, man, something happened on May 26th. I had a media mention and I had like 62,000 hits on one of my web pages. And he's like,
that's
I thought the Chinese were after me, but it was actually a Fox News thing. So, but it's, you know, this happens and, you know, Cindy will be the first one to tell you when did you and I meet, Cindy? March 2016?
Yeah, I think
February.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Man,
hasn't been too long. We started the show.
It hasn't just been long at all.
And try to get people understanding. Yeah,
Cindy,
what
I've
coaching is
so much.
You have. Well, you were talking about acceleration. I mean, you're the one that was talking. Didn't Nicole say that?
No,
that
I haven't
acceleration.
Everything happens
fast now. We're all evolving, and the millennials are doing it right along with us, right? Probably at a faster pace than we ever did.
Faster pace, yes, for sure.
Okay, now we're going at the acceleration. So, you know, yeah, and I think that's going to be a whole lot of fun to see what happens for you as you kind of, you know, like you said, get your, you know, get things going and just see what opportunities avail themselves once you do go, you know, do start going. So the coach, you know, being a coach is a journey itself. It's not a fixed destination.
Yeah.
I mean, there's twists and turns, as you know. You know me, Nicole, and Cindy knows me. You know that, or maybe, you know, there's twists and turns and opportunities and gateways that happen nearly every day, and it's kind of fun to
you never
see
know
what those are
and
take those. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely not boring. Let's put it that way. It's definitely not boring for sure. And it's nice
to be
of service too to other people. You know, it's just such a heartfelt thing.
And from what I know of Bruce and you, Cindy, I can tell, you know, and this is what I'm really looking forward to, is that being able to learn from other people. So with every client, with every opportunity, you become that much more self-aware.
Yes.
And you become that much more aware of what you can offer to others. And that's really, I guess, the humbling piece with this. You know, there's so many avenues that coaching can take you. And I think with all of us, our passion is, how can I help you achieve what you personally want to achieve? Thank goodness I'm
exactly
well connected in the retail world. I can get people employed. I can help them, you know, prepare for interviews. I can help them, you know, do so many of the things that are just basic functions that maybe they're struggling with because of prior circumstances or insecurities, things like that.
Right.
And watching them grow on a personal level. And that's just...
It's very rewarding. It's very rewarding.
Oh, it is so rewarding.
It's just, and it's very collaborative, the whole coaching profession. We talk about that a lot on the show, that it's really non-competitive compared to business in general. It's very collaborative. And I think that maybe that's, you know, this whole field of coaching is evolving as the millennial, you know, we're talking about millennials being much more socially evolved in different ways that are very admirable. I think coaching is a very evolved profession too, because it's all about that heartfelt connection and helping people get where they want to go.
Right.
And
it's all about the person and all about that. So we just got under 3 minutes left, so I want to be a good steward of the time. So
yes,
Nicole,
thank you so much, Nicole.
Parting now,
of course.
Folks, she's going to have if for our podcast listeners and down, you know, we'll have the show summary up here in a few days, and we'll have Nicole's landing page probably on our Facebook here on the show summary. So, you know, make sure to check in on the show summary, and then make sure you check in on our iTunes, and it'll be there on iTunes as well. So, any last minute wrap up thoughts for Nicole for you before you wind her down?
I just want to thank you both so much. You know, Bruce, thank you for your time, your mentoring the last couple of years. You truly were an inspiration to me, and I want to pay it forward. So thank you both for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Best of luck to you, and we're always here for you. We're available. So good luck.
Absolutely.
And if you have any questions or need any help, thanks for taking the time to be on the show and share your experience.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right. So Cindy, go ahead and give our listeners your contact information and whatnot.
Yeah, I can be reached personally at 714-943-6206. And I do have a website,
Wisdom Foods.
Wisdom Foods.
There you go.
And available for any questions. Thanks so much.
A friend of mine was talking about Wisdom Foods. He said, you know, Wisdom Foods. And I'm like, what the heck? And he's like, no, you know, Cindy. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's kind of fun that
I know. I've had the
this is
the
getting to my personal life.
Yeah, I do wellness. I'm a clinical nutritionist and I'm a business coach. So kind of an odd combo, but that's
awesome.
Me. And if you get to know me, you know I'm an odd combo. But hey, it is what
that's
it is, right,
man,
Bruce?
It is what it is. Me too. And I can be reached at Twitter at Cameron Coaches. Hey, see us on our Facebook page at Concierge Coaches Show. And I'm at conciergecoach.net. And so once again, that wraps up another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And we'll see you next week. Actually, you know what? Next week, we're going to have a replay. It's probably going to be with Brian Cuban Part 2. So, Ronan, make a note of that. We'll probably have a replay because it's July the 4th, folks. So
everybody,
I know.
Have a great
okay.
July 4th.
We'll be swinging for the fences on the 11th. We got a special guest, and it's going to be awesome. So y'all have a great holiday next week, and we'll see you here again on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.